This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Elon Musk podcast. This is a show where we discuss the critical crossroads that shape SpaceX, Tesla, X, The Boring Company, and Neuralink. And I'm your host, Will Walden. One more thing before we start. Google Podcasts is being discontinued by Google. So if you want to continue getting episodes of the Elon Musk podcast, please check us out over at YouTube Music. Search us out over there, and that's where you'll be able to find our podcast through Google products. Thank you so much for understanding. I had no control over this. Google pulled the Google Podcast app off of Android, and I want to let you know where to continue finding the show. Over at YouTube Music, search for Elon Musk Podcast. Thank you so much. Formerly, Twitter is financially backing Chloe Hepp in a legal action against her previous employer, Block, founded by Jack Dorsey, who also established Twitter, now known as X. Hepp asserts she was unfairly dismissed from expressing her opinions on X through a pseudonym satirical account outside of work hours. Elon Musk on X expressed his support for the lawsuit, emphasizing supporting your right to freedom of speech. Now, the lawsuit arises from two specific posts made by Hepp on her anonymous account. The first post referenced the movement of refugees from Gaza to Kurdistan following attacks on October 7th, while the second included derogatory language aimed at transgender individuals in the context of discussing a gender-neutral restroom. Now, Hepp maintains these posts were satirical and did not directly mention her employer, Block. Block's acquisition of these posts and the company's decision to terminate Hepp's employment form the crux of this dispute. Hepp alleges that despite Block's policy seemingly supporting free speech, she was dismissed without severance for sharing views contrary to the company's stance, a move she argues was against the company's own guidelines. Now, seeking redress, Hepp's lawsuit demands her reinstatement at Block and financial compensation for damages, including lost wages. This case is not X's first foray into legal battles championing free speech. Previously, the company supported Gina Carano in her lawsuit against Disney and Lucasfilm, alleging her removal from The Mandalorian was due to her controversial viewpoints. Now, the intertwining of significant tech figures like Elon Musk, Jack Dorsey, and the companies they founded shows that there's a complex web here. There's ideologies, relationships, different ways of thinking, and it's all in the tech industry right now. X and Block, they're in a legal battle now. Musk's X, by funding Hepp's lawsuit, is taking a definitive stance on issues of speech and expression in the workplace, and this shows that there's a bigger debate here. Freedoms in the digital age. Can you speak your mind wherever you are without being let go from your job? Do you have freedom of speech? Or is there language in your contract that doesn't allow you to do this? It's really up to the company and up to the person who signs that contract when they start employment with that company. Now, Hepp's assertion that her posts were meant as satire and her subsequent actions, including deleting the content, it's nuanced. It's online expression. And now she has potential consequences when personal and professional boundaries intersect. Her insistence on her right to express political satire without workplace repercussion is an important question that we have to ask ourselves. And does it limit expression and employer responses? We're going to find out with this lawsuit. And this lawsuit also alleges that Block violated its own speech policies by dismissing Hepp's just a possible discrepancy between company guidelines and their applications. Now, this raises broader concerns about how companies interpret and enforce policies related to employee conduct and expression, particularly in cases involving social media. And in this case, a, quote, satirical account. Now, Block's refusal to disclose whether complaints from other employees prompted their investigation into Hap's posts adds another layer of complexity to this case. Corporate transparency and the rights of employees to understand the basis of disciplinary action taken against them if they post, quote, satirical content on another website? Well, we're going to have to find out what's going to happen in this lawsuit. We'll keep you up to date as well. Now, Hap initially denied these posts, though. They said that they feared repercussions if they were attributed to this. And her later admission, spotlighting the challenges that individuals face when confronted with their online activities, impacts their professional life and their personal life. It raises questions about privacy, identity, and also accountability in the age of digital personas. Now, the support of high-profile figures like Elon Musk for legal actions rooted in free speech concerns signifies a notable intersection of tech leadership and socio-political issues. Musk's public backing of Hap's lawsuit through X positions him and the platform within ongoing debates about freedom of expression, freedom of speech, both online and at the workplace. And the legal precedent set by cases like this and the involvement of platforms like X in such disputes could influence future employer-employee dynamics concerning free speech. The outcome of this lawsuit may offer insights into how companies craft and enforce policies regarding employees' online expressions in the future, especially when done anonymously or through a pseudonym. Now, the reference to previous cases, such as Gina Carano's lawsuit against Disney, where X also provided support, shows that they're willing to take a step forward and take a big stance on certain free speech issues. This pattern of backing individuals challenging corporate actions perceived as limiting expression suggests a broader strategy by X to align itself with particular values in the public sphere. Now, the complexities of this case, though, involving pseudonyms and online activity, satirical expression, and corporate policy, shows that there's challenges out there for companies and for individuals when they're signing that contract. Is this free speech? Do you have to manage your speech to keep your job? That's another question we have to ask ourselves. And the boundaries between personal expression and professional responsibilities continue to blur, raising important questions about the rights and obligations of employees and employers alike. The legal and ethical considerations at play in Hap's lawsuit against Block, supported by X, reflect broader societal debates about the nature of free speech, the responsibilities of digital platforms, and the impact of personal expression on professional engagements. These issues are increasingly relevant in a world where digital and real-life personas intersect, and where the actions taken in one realm can have significant consequences in the other. Now, the outcome of this case could have important implications on how companies navigate the balance between fostering an inclusive workplace and respecting individual rights to free expression and free speech. It also highlights the potential role social media platforms in supporting users' rights and legal challenges that arise from digital expressions. Now, this lawsuit brought by Chloe Hap against Block with the support of X shows that there's an intricate relationship between free speech, employee rights, and corporate policies. It's a reminder of the ongoing challenges and debates surrounding expression in their digital age and who's watching your accounts, especially as it intersects with professional life and corporate expectations. The outcome may offer valuable insights into the evolving landscape of digital expression and the implications for both individuals and organizations. SpaceX has announced its intentions to carry out as many as 9 Starship missions in the next year, with spacecrafts expected to land all the way in the Indian Ocean. Now, these operations, which are set to be launched from the Boca Chica Starbase, Texas site, are detailed in an extensive environmental assessment by the Federal Aviation Administration, or the FAA. Now, the FAA's report, which is 119 pages long, indicates the possibility of up to 5 total losses of the Starships, which would occur as they crash into the ocean at the highest speed possible after re-entering from orbit, while still intact, of course. Now, these incidents, termed overpressure events in the document, would be caused by the impact with water, leading to the structural compromise and subsequent combustion of the liquid methane and oxygen on board. In addition to these potential explosive landings, SpaceX is also looking into the viability of controlled water landings, wherein the spacecraft would softly approach the water surface before tipping over, as described by the FAA document. Now, the FAA report points out that the Starship's propellants, liquid methane and oxygen, are not toxic, unlike some other rocket fuels, which is an important consideration for environmental safety. Now, the document also acknowledges the chance the Starships might break apart during the reentry process, adding another potential outcome to these planned missions. Now, SpaceX moves forward with these plans and continues to receive the necessary authorizations from the FAA, a large number of Starships, either whole or in pieces, will likely end up on the ocean floor in a region between Australia and Madagascar. Now, the FAA's environmental assessment details what could be expected if Starship landings in the Indian Ocean do not go as planned, predicting a field of debris primarily made up of heavy metals and some composite materials. Now, the majority of this debris, especially the stainless steel components, is expected to sink quickly due to its heavy nature and material composition. However, some lighter pieces might float or remain suspended before eventually sinking. Now, in case of explosion upon impact, the resulting debris is expected to be contained within a radius of about 0.5 nautical miles from the point of impact. And the FAA has stated there will be no attempts to retrieve or clean up the Starship remains, whatever their condition after landing, in pieces or not. And the report also considers the potential impact of these operations on marine life, such as sea turtles, fish, sharks, whales, and others in the intended landing zones. Now, the FAA's assessment suggests that the direct impact on marine life from either impact or breaking apart Starships is highly unlikely thanks to the ocean's vastness and the relatively small size of the spacecraft components compared to, well, millions of tons of water. And also, they have to hit tiny fish. So it's very unlikely. Now, it's reasoned that although debris hitting an animal underwater could cause harm or death, the low frequency of Starship operations and the natural underwater behavior of marine life makes such occurrences highly unlikely. And on March 14, 2024, a large crowd gathered to watch a Starship launch from SpaceX's Boca Chica facility, marking an important moment for this company. This launch was particularly notable as well. Known to be the most powerful rocket in existence, it successfully reached orbit, a significant achievement for SpaceX and everybody in the spaceflight community. Now, these developments and the planned future missions show that SpaceX is working towards fully operational and fully reusable, large-scale, massive rockets that can take massive, massive payloads to low Earth orbit, to the Moon, Mars, and beyond. One more thing before we start the show. Google Podcasts is being discontinued by Google at the end of this month. So if you want to continue getting episodes of the Elon Musk podcast, please check us out over at YouTube Music. Search us out over there, and that's where you'll be able to find our podcast through Google products. Thank you so much for understanding. I had no control over this. Google just pulled the Google Podcast app off of Android, and I just want to let you know where to continue finding the show. Over at YouTube Music, search for Elon Musk Podcast. Thank you so much. Tesla has once again reduced its vehicle prices and introduced special offers aimed at enticing buyers, following a report of disappointing vehicle deliveries in the first quarter of 2024. This news comes alongside adjustments by analysts to Tesla's full-year earnings forecast, leading to a rise in Tesla shares. Now, in a notable move, the electric vehicle behemoth known as Tesla slashed the prices of its Model Y vehicles in Australia by over 9%, setting the starting price of approximately $42,240. This decision coincides with a surge in electric vehicle sales in Australia, where Tesla ranks as the sixth most popular automotive brand. Now, the price reduction in Australia is part of Tesla's broader strategy to remain competitive, evidenced by the introduction of a 0% financing offer on the Model 3 and Model Y models in China till the end of April. Now, this marks Tesla's first foray into interest-free promotions in China and the electric vehicle market globally. Now, contrarily, Tesla has raised the prices of all Model Y variants in the United States and Europe, and also in China, despite some existing incentives coming to an end. Nevertheless, significant discounts on the Model Y inventory remain available in the U.S. and other markets. Tesla stock experienced a 1.6% increase, reaching 171.5 during these pricing adjustments. And this follows a rebound where the stock went up by 1% to 168.38. Now, the company's stock purchased activities by Cathie Wood, which involved acquiring 319,000 shares over 2 days, also contributing to the stock movement. Now, to keep its sales momentum going, Tesla has aggressively reduced prices and offered discounts throughout 2023 and also 2024, causing a significant dip in auto gross margins from a high of 30% in quarter four 2021 to below 20%. And following Tesla's announcements of lower than expected global deliveries of 386,810 vehicles in quarter one, HSBC revised its Tesla price target downward, maintaining a reduced rating on the shares. Now, this report has sparked a wave of criticism from both supporters and also skeptics, attributing the poor performance to challenges in the production ramp-up and factory shutdowns. Now, analysts have adjusted their 2024 earnings projections for Tesla downwards, indicating a potential second conservative year of profit declines for the company. The revised forecasts reflect a more than 26% reduction in EPS consensus estimates since the end of 2023. And despite a disappointing first quarter, expectations for Tesla's business are higher for quarter two, with anticipated improvements in Model 3 and Cybertruck sales in the U.S., and a potential uptick in Chinese sales. Now, Tesla's stock performance has seen fluctuations, with a 2.9% increase last week, but trading below the 50-day moving average. Leaked emails from Elon Musk suggest a push for the latest full self-driving update in North America, along with a one-month free trial offer for FSD. Now, Tesla faced a notable decline in stock value on March 15th, reaching a new low for 2024. Stock's performance ranks in eighth among auto manufacturers, with relatively low composite and relative strength ratings. Now, hedge fund manager Pearl Luckender has expressed a bleak outlook for Tesla, though, predicting the company could face bankruptcy and its stock could plummet to $14, a very pessimistic view following Tesla's quarter one delivery report, which fell short of market expectations. And Pear is a bull. Luckender attributes Tesla's challenges not to supply chain disruptions, but to a demand problem, particularly with the Model 3 and Model Y vehicles. He does not anticipate any significant recovery for Tesla in the near term due to the aging model lineup and economic conditions. Now, Tesla's first quarter delivery shortfall has led to a chorus of negative opinions, with analysts pointing to the harsh realities of scaling electric vehicle production. And despite Tesla's valuation, increased competition and market pressures are contributing to skepticism about the company's future. Now, Wedbush Securities analyst Dan Ives described Tesla's first quarter performance as a disaster, calling it a crucial moment for the company to recover or face potential long-term challenges. But amongst the criticism, Tesla continues to receive support, notably from Cathie Wood's ARK Invest, which purchased Tesla stock ahead of the delivery report. Some analysts remain optimistic about Tesla's long-term prospects, citing potential catalysts like the promotion of the FSD feature and also the free trial of full self-driving. Now, RBC Capital Markets analyst Tom Narayan highlighted Tesla's energy storage and autonomy as key factors in his positive rating on the company's stock. Despite the first quarter setbacks, there remains a belief in Tesla's potential to leverage this technology for future growth. Now, Tesla's recent price adjustments and promotional offers show that it's going to work to stimulate sales amidst a challenging period marked by lower than expected delivery figures and a downward revision in earnings forecasts. The company's stock has experienced volatility, with its future prospects contingent on its ability to navigate the competitive electric vehicle market and capitalize on its technological innovation. Tesla Motors has reintroduced its full self-driving transfer program as a buying incentive this quarter. Now, this is counter to CEO Elon Musk's previous assertion that such an offer would be a singular event The program permits existing Tesla owners to transfer their FSD package to a new vehicle upon purchase, which is a feature that has been highly requested due to Tesla's unfulfilled promise of complete self-driving capabilities. They've been promising this for years and have not delivered on FSD. And people bought into this. They paid about $15,000 for full self-driving. It's never come to fruition. So people think that they should be able to transfer their full self-driving license from one vehicle to another, considering that Tesla never gave them what they bought.
Customers have long argued for the ability to transfer the FSD package, priced at up to $15,000, especially since the promised autonomous driving features have yet to be fully realized by Tesla. The rationale is that if Tesla can eventually provide these features via a software update, owners should not lose their investment when upgrading their vehicle.
Now, despite the logical appeal of allowing FSD transfers to support customer investment in the technology, Tesla has historically been resistant to the idea. The company's eventual concession to allow transfers, but only for purchases made in the third quarter of 2023, was met with a lot of skepticism. Now, Elon Musk said that the temporary nature of this opportunity, he said that he framed it as a one-time amnesty for buyers to take advantage of during the specific quarter. This move was not seen as a customer-friendly initiative, but as a strategic attempt to just boost sales for Tesla within a limited time frame by leveraging the company's failure to deliver on its FSD promises. Now, let me ask you a question. If you invested $15,000 for full self-driving and they didn't deliver, would you be upset? It's kind of like buying a house and you put an investment of a couple hundred thousand dollars into this house and the real estate agent never shows up and gives you the keys. You don't have a house. You don't have full self-driving. So you spend a lot of money. I know it's a little bit different, but you spend a lot of money and you never got what was promised to you. Now, critics have accused Tesla of using the FSD transfer offer as a sales tactic rather than a genuine effort to do right by its customers. The skepticism was further fueled by the belief that despite Musk's statements, the offer would likely reappear in the future sometime. And in line with these suspicions, Tesla announced the future of the FSD transfer option in February 2024, available until the end of this quarter to encourage new vehicle purchases. This decision contradicts Musk's earlier claims of the offer being a one-off. Now, recently, Tesla expanded the FSD transfer offer to include all new Tesla vehicles, excluding the Cybertruck. This move is part of a broader strategy to stack incentives and boost sales, indicating a more flexible approach to FSD transferability than previously communicated. Tesla has also provided updates to long-standing FSD adopters with older Model S and Model X vehicles, shedding light on the company's efforts to extend the latest FSD capabilities to these legacy models. The rapid pace of Tesla's tech advancements means that newer vehicle models often receive the latest updates first, leaving older models waiting for enhancements. This has been particularly true for FSD and autopilot features, which are primarily developed for the more recent additions to Tesla's fleet. New computers, new architecture, they're going to get the latest software because of it. Think of your iPhone. The latest iPhone gets the latest update before all the other phones do. Now, Musk acknowledged this issue, noting that while the upcoming Hardware 4 will offer improvements, the company's current focus remains on vehicles equipped with Hardware 3. This left some early adopters of FSD, particularly those with older Model S and also Model X vehicles, feeling overlooked. They spent a lot of money on these cars, and they should be getting what they paid for. This frustration among these legacy vehicle owners stems from unmet promises regarding the vehicle's potential for autonomy. Although Tesla has introduced hardware upgrade programs, they come at an additional cost, which some owners are unwilling to pay. They should have full self-driving. That's what they think, with the current software that they were promised and the current hardware that they're using. Now, the sense of exclusion among these early FSD supporters was highlighted in a post by Tesla owner Anthony Spina, who expressed concerns over the lack of updates and communication regarding the deployment of the latest FSD versions to older models. Responding to these concerns, though, Tesla Vice President Rohan Patel conveyed the company's efforts to bring full self-driving capabilities to older models. It might take a little bit of time, though. Explained the challenges in validating the software for different hardware configurations, but reassured customers of the company's commitment to resolving all of these issues. Now, Patel's communication showed that there's a lot of challenges here. Software with hardware. You don't just put a new version of software with older hardware, or you could do the Apple route and make sure that it works with a bunch of versions before it. Now, there's a small segment of Tesla's customer base that faces these challenges, and they possess different hardware from the majority of the users. He said that there's rigorous safety validation processes that each software update undergoes, and they aim to manage expectations regarding the timelines for these updates at Tesla. Now, the follow-up communication from Tesla's executive team acknowledged the patience required from legacy vehicle owners. It showed that the company's understanding of these frustrations, and also Tesla reiterated the intense efforts made to extend the latest FSD features to all eligible vehicles, regardless of their hardware versions. They have to build different software for different hardware. It's a big process. I know it is. I'm a software developer myself. If you have to develop for one sort of code base on a certain sort of hardware, and then you switch the hardware, you might have to rewrite thousands of lines of code. Now, the situation illustrates the complexities that Tesla faces as a tech-driven company in the auto industry. They want to rapidly innovate, but it could lead to disparities in customer experience based on vehicle age and hardware capabilities of older vehicles. And the reintroduction of the FSD transfer program, along with the ongoing efforts to update legacy vehicles, shows that Tesla's actually in this. They want to help, and they have their efforts towards the older vehicles straight in line with the newer vehicles, but it's going to take them a little bit longer. They aim to balance the company's forward-looking technological advancements with the needs and expectations of its diverse customer base. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. I really do appreciate your support. If you could take a second and hit the subscribe or the follow button on whatever podcast platform that you're listening on right now, I greatly appreciate it. It helps out the show tremendously, and you'll never miss an episode. And each episode is about 10 minutes or less to get you caught up quickly. And please, if you want to support the show even more, go to patreon.com/stage0. And please take care of yourselves and each other. And I'll see you tomorrow.